WBSM presents The Tim Weisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Weisberg Show.
And welcome back in hour number three of the program here on Monday. And we are joined now, as we are each Monday now, in the 8 o'clock hour by New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning, sir. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you doing?
Doing all right. Had a good week?
Yes. It was it went by actually really fast. And the weekend even quicker, I would say. But
well, now, I mean, March is going to be here by the next time we talk. It'll be March.
Yeah, typically I would say that I know a lot of people said January felt like it dragged, but typically I felt as though February, even though being the shortest month, I don't know if it's the illusion of it being the shortest month that it feels typically like the longest month. But this year, I don't know if it's because of all the events going on with City Council or what have you, but it just feels like it's flying by. I can't believe we're already in the last week of February.
To me, a couple of weeks ago, I was like, oh, this is school vacation week. And they're like, no, that's next week. I was like, what? How many weeks are there in February? But, you know, the important thing is we're making it through the winter. One of the things that I want to ask you about, because it's this kind of annoyed me when I saw it this morning, is Eversource is going out and doing some like informational sessions around Massachusetts to explain to people why they're paying so much for their gas bills and ways that they can conserve and all. And they're not coming to New Bedford until March 25th, when many people have already turned off the heat by that point because they can't afford to keep it going on. Do you feel like Eversource has been active enough and been responded enough to the people in this area's concerns about their bills? I mean, we had a spokesperson on a couple of weeks ago, but other than that, we haven't really heard much from them.
Well, I was just going to say, you know, I would say the community relations person we speak with, Anthony, has been very responsive to the council. So I'm very thankful in regards to the work that he does. Sure, I would say the question in regards to whether or not they should be holding a town hall a lot sooner might be a fair criticism to have them come, as we know that we've had a very, very cold winter and I predict that it will still be cold potentially in March. But I think that even then, come March 25th, it will still be very pertinent because of the fact that these delivery charges, not just for gas, but also for electric. But I do hear that point of whether or not, you know, the urgency of wanting someone to be here sooner than later. The only thing I would say to that is I don't know if the people of New Bedford would be any happier.
That's true.
It would just give them the opportunity to yell at someone a lot sooner. I think what I am very thankful for is I believe everyone's on the same page. And by everyone, I mean all of our elected officials. It has, from my understanding, bipartisan support, you know, on Beacon Hill to really investigate and look into what is going on with these delivery charges and why we're seeing the large increases that we have been, especially over here in Massachusetts. So surely, yes, if we had a town hall sooner, people could ask directly, similar to some other town halls we've had. But I don't necessarily believe if we've had it sooner, it would make people feel any better to get it off their chest, especially if the town hall doesn't result in any actual changes.
Which it's not going to. So.
Yeah. So, but what I will say is just the representative we have in terms of community relations support and information has been very forthcoming in regards to us elected officials whenever we reach out. So I'm always very thankful to have, you know, communications and conversations with Anthony.
So what can you do in those communications? Because it's not like you can make these bills any lower for people. You can maybe just be that buffer to help them understand things a little bit more, which is what we try to do.
Correct.
On the radio here. But
yeah,
really, our hands are all tied. There's nothing we can really do about it.
Yeah, and a lot of times this is the challenge I think we have as city councilors too, because And it's understandable, you know, where you're direct elected officials, and then after us, you know, state level, federal, and so on and so forth. So a lot of times people reach out to us assuming that we can do something for them. And a lot of times our power is very limited. But oftentimes I on the council, I mentioned to people that what we lack in, you know, actual power, we make up for in influence. So having these conversations, as I mentioned with Anthony, and sharing with him the concerns that we're hearing from residents, you know, one of the meetings I've gone to, community meetings, you know, some of the residents shared that they understand that there's a cost to all these things, but what they would like is a little bit more transparency. So, for example, in these delivery charges, if the delivery charges have to go up, they would like to see a further breakdown of that, mm-hmm. of, you know, can you... I guess for lack of a better term, like, you know, line items, which is unrealistic.
It's a very ubiquitous thing. Like, what is this delivery charge? Correct. I don't understand it.
If we could have a little bit of a clearer idea or understanding, so that way they could feel, I guess, again, not that it would make you feel better having to pay more money that you feel that you shouldn't have to pay, but that way for some individuals that are looking at this increase, it could, they can sometimes wrap their head around, well, how does it make any sense that the supply that I'm actually getting, whether it's gas or electric, you know, is cheaper than the actual delivery, it costs more to get here. You know, sometimes, you know, the millennial in me, I'm using the reference of like door dashing or Uber Eats. You know, you might, if you're sitting at home, you're being lazy, you don't want to go order, for example, like a go to Dunkin' Donuts to grab a coffee or a McDonald's, you order from DoorDash, and then that $2 cheeseburger that you're ordering ends up costing you like $10 because of the delivery charges. And that's what I'm envisioning when it comes to these electric bills. It's like, geez, I might as well just go get it myself. Obviously, that's not possible when it comes to your electric and gas, but that's kind of the conversations people are having now about, well, what are our alternatives? Because we know that Eversource has a monopoly on us here and we have to go with Eversource. Or is that true? So that's the part where we turn to our state and sometimes federal government to say, well, you have a lot more power than we do. What can we do in terms of possibly having more of a competition in here for businesses to then help drive up the competition to help with prices? And but if it is a situation of price gouging, that sometimes helps with the remedy.
But you know, the bottom line here is the city council is keeping an eye on this and they are having active conversations.
Certainly, yes.
So another thing I'm sure that the council will be keeping an eye on is this past week, New Bedford Police Chief Paul Oliveira announced his impending retirement just a couple months away. The mayor said here on Wednesday with Chris that he plans on having a nationwide search. He's going to cast a wide net. They'll look at internal candidates, but they're also going to look externally. I guess the way to start this conversation is, what do you think would be the qualities you'd want to see in the next police chief of New Bedford?
Well, yes, yeah, so I'm so thankful to WBSM for reporting that. Otherwise, myself and my colleagues would have never known about the chief's retirement. So that's wonderful.
Wait, you're serious?
Yes, I'm very serious. I hope you could sense my sarcasm in my voice and my disappointment.
So you had no indication this was coming?
No clue at all until, thankfully, I had my WBSM alerts on, and that popped up, and then followed by a bunch of phone calls. My colleagues obviously wondering if I kept something from them, and I'm like, nope. So this is the part of the communication problem that I, you know, had hoped we could possibly fix. So I'm hoping this was just a lapse in communication, this one situation, but still frustrating. So, you know, a lot of times I guess I just have to turn to WBSM to get all of the pressing city government information that I need to know to do my job properly as a city councilor. So, yeah, I will say I was...
We're gonna put that in a promo, by the way, so you're gonna hear that quite a bit on the radio.
Well, I will say I was surprised. I was very surprised, especially as you put in your reporting, you know, the chief just signed his 3-year contract. So I had assumed that we would have him for at least another 3 years. You know, to me, he's still very young. You know, when I was younger, I used to think people that were, you know, in their 50s or 60s were old, right? And, you know, now that I'm approaching, I'm still in my 30s. I still feel very young. But now I'm like, I have a totally different outlook on age. And I'm like, no, these people are very young, just so full of life. And so, especially looking at my grandmother who's in her 90s, and I'm, you know, so in my mindset, you know, I'm very surprised, but I hope that, you know, he does enjoy his retirement. I think it's very deserving. So very happy for him, but I was very surprised when I saw that. And to go back to your question, sorry, in regards to the qualities that I would look for, I want someone from New Bedford. I think we have plenty of amazing talent already on our police force. One of the things I harped on back when the deputy chief had retired was that we needed to fill that position. And I wasn't sure why we were stalling. That was a question a number of my colleagues raised. I believe a letter was sent to the chief at the time and under Naomi Carney's presidency that we signed on to about filling that position for deputy chief for a situation just like this. So now our chief is retiring and we're going to have a vacancy in the top two positions. The chief and deputy chief are now, well, eventually the next couple of months or so will be vacant.
And not even a clear person to step in as acting chief.
Correct. And so it's just, to me, this is why it was so important to fill that deputy chief position, because I believe as I read in the article that you just put out again, the updated one from the mayor's interview, he mentioned how the current chief was the acting chief, and it was fitting that he had already had the on-job experience and just transitioned very effortlessly into the chief role. So this is why it's important to have people in these positions so they can essentially ascend in that order. And so for me, the reason why it's so important to have individuals from the city, which it's surprising to me to hear from Mayor Mitchell that he wants to do a nationwide search and to really search around to not limit us here in New Bedford. But I don't think New Bedford's very limited. I think we are full of talent. And the reason why I'm surprised to hear that from Mayor Mitchell is because he fought us so hard on the residency requirement for police officers. And a part of that reasoning was we need police officers who know New Bedford. So it's surprising to hear from him that, oh, well, but the top police officer in our city can be from out of New Bedford. And oftentimes we hear this from Mayor Mitchell, where the highest paying positions in our city can go to someone outside of New Bedford. And that I want to get away from. It's a part of the remarks I made during the appointments and briefing meeting this past week when one of our appointees, Sherry, who's going to be, I guess, until we appoint her on Thursday's council meeting, it's been referred favorably out of committee, our new administrative assistant to the assessors. I made, a big fight against changing the residency requirement for that position because I believed wholeheartedly that we have plenty of untapped potential here in New Bedford. And Sherry is a person who is a New Bedford resident who has been working for the city of New Bedford for many years, has been a public servant for many years, and now is being tapped for this position, which I'm very thankful for. But just another perfect example of giving people in New Bedford, if you look for them, give them the opportunity and you show it's possible. So that same can be applied to this role. I think there's plenty of police officers in our rank and file that can be moving up in this role, in this position, to become essentially the chief, and also, like as I mentioned before, the deputy chief that has also been vacant for some time now.
I thought something was up when I texted Councilor Gomes and asked if he wanted to provide a statement on the chief's retiring, because I figured, as public safety head, and he's a chair, he's somebody who is always, right on the ball with these things when it comes to what's going on with the police department. And he said, I'd like a chance to talk to the chief first before I comment. And that's when I was like, well, wait a minute. So you didn't know that this was happening? So then I kind of saw, but yet, you make a fair point. You found out about it when the chief released this information and we wrote an article about it. But that post that they put on the New Bedford Police Department Facebook page and that they sent to us as a press release had a quote already in it from Mayor Mitchell. Mm-hmm. So he was aware of it in advance. This wasn't something that surprised him necessarily in terms of the way that it was announced. So I find it very interesting that he had that heads up, but he didn't give the heads up to the council.
Correct. Yeah. And so this is, again, part of the situation I've been talking about. And again, I hope that this is something that's repaired. I know it takes time, obviously, to build up that rapport, especially if there's past hurts that he's dealing with. But I hope he understands that that's not the type of leadership that I bring. And I hope that he's able to get past whatever he's dealing with, because I want us to be able to work. We need to be able to communicate to have an effective government. So I trust that he'll be able to work on that and to have the ability to communicate more effectively with the council when we have major staffing changes such as this.
So, and you had mentioned that you'd like to see the next police chief come from New Bedford, but in terms of, you know, the approach here of this is a chance to really look at what you're going to have already that has been done by Chief Oliveira over these last few years and be able to kind of now take that to the next level. So in kind of generally speaking, are there things that you want to see the police department adopt, or maybe some technologies that they're not using that they could be, or maybe things that they are relying on that you'd like to see them kind of get away from?
Well, no, I think that the New Bedford Police Department has made some great strides. A lot of the, I will say that the body cameras have been a great addition. I think everyone has been very supportive of that. The council has funded the body cameras, which have been very expensive. But having that program, I think, is very useful, not only for the general public, but also for the police officers. They feel safer having him on. So I think even having that kind of technology and equipment, I know having spoken with the chief of police over the past few years, we want to start relying a lot more on cameras. You know, there's been a lot of controversy around ShotSpotter, and that's a conversation that I've continued to have with the chief every budget season. I have not shied away from my dislike, I guess is the word I'll use, of ShotSpotter, because it's useless. The data shows it, that it's not as effective as it, you know, purports to be. You know, it has a lot of more false positives than, you know, what is needed for us here in a city of New Bedford. And it costs us more and more each year. Over $100,000 each year, and then it expands each year depending on the radius that we need and the software updates, and then having to recalibrate it and all these other changes. And I believe the chief would like to reinvest some of that money into cameras, which actually do go on to catch criminals and further prevent and stop crimes. Because I think a lot of times if criminals see a camera, they're going to say, oh, I'm not going to do this.
Not to mention the camera also can pick up the gunshots and actually give you a visual as opposed to just the audio.
Yeah. And, you know, more recently, you know, some of the more recent crimes that we've seen have been solved because of cameras that we've had, not because of I can't think of any recent times where ShotSpotter has solved or helped prevent any crime. So those are some of the you know, things that I would like us to get away from, is wasting that kind of money and putting more money into resources that have been proven to work, especially here in New Bedford. And I know that that is what we are moving towards, which I'm hoping will be the continued practice with whoever the new chief is.
And before anybody calls in and says, well, there's the progressive Shane Burgo wants to get rid of ShotSpotter. Mm-hmm. There's people all across the country of all different political bends who are against ShotSpotter because of its lack of effectiveness. In theory, the idea is great. In practice, it hasn't really worked out the way that it originally was supposed to be. So Fall River did away with it. Other mm-hmm. cities have done away with it. They've had it and they've canceled the contract because they felt like they weren't getting their money's worth. So being critical of ShotSpotter is not by any means a far left position. Mm-hmm. It's something that a lot of people have looked at and said, it just doesn't bear the cost. And as you said, that money can be put to better resources.
Correct.
Let's take a phone call here. 508-996-0500 if you want to call in and speak with City Council President Shane Burgo. Good morning. You were on with the Council President.
Good morning. Gilly Saffield. Council President, here's one time that we're going to agree on something.
Oh, interesting.
Are you ready? Interesting.
I'm ready.
Okay, let's talk about the mayor. Okay? Like you said that you guys didn't know about the chief retiring. I want to talk about, I was going to call Chris later on and bring it up on his show. When he had the mayor on there the other day, the mayor made a comment at the end of his program about people should be interested to come and work in the city of New Bedford as police officers because they have all the opportunities, they got all the other stuff for them to do, you know, and everything. But in the bottom line, when he said all that, and Chris agreed with him and everything, is if I'm not mistaken, the chief of police tried to jump boat. He tried to go to Falmouth, okay, to get a job. So there's a guy that he vouched for, and he's trying to leave New Bedford. But yet he's saying that people should be interested to come in here. Do you understand what I'm trying to go with this?
Yes.
Okay. So the bottom line is, and what happens? He doesn't get picked. He comes back and he gives them an over $209,000 raise for 3 years. And praises him how he's been doing a good job. But he tried to jump boat. And what happens? He retires. Why? What was coming down the line that nobody knows and that we're not being told? You know what I'm trying to say here, right, brother?
Well, I can't speculate on why the chief is retiring. I would assume, you know, he has a family and, you know, at a certain point you want to retire, you want to enjoy your retirement after so many years. As much as I mentioned before, it'd be great to have him finish out his contract. I wish him all the best in his retirement.
Well, in the bottom line though, how did he get his job? Do you remember he was a lieutenant? And do you remember when the job went up with Cordero? And I told you, Cordero called me. I already said the story on the thing. Okay, because he asked me about Mitchell. Does he hold grudges? I'm going to keep repeating this. And what happened was, he actually was told if he can work with Oliveira. And that's why all the other captains jumped off the list to it. So he was told by the mayor, and I'm making a statement that this is Joe's words completely. If he picks me, I got to take Oliveira as the deputy chief. That's why he originally wanted him to be the chief anyways. So I wouldn't give you false information. Am I right when I say the majority of the, well, I'm going to say all the time, when I give information, I can back it up, President?
Well, I'm glad you said the majority of the time, because I believe you and I know that not all the time what you say is true. But that's a different conversation. For a different
but
time.
But I take responsibility for it, though. That's all I'm going to tell you. And I got proof when I say something, even if it is 99.999. The thing is, we're not told. The people out here are not told what's coming down the line. If all the people, like he said, want they should work in New Bedford because we have all the opportunities and everything, why did his chosen chief of police try to jump boat to go to Falmouth? And he didn't get the job, and he awards him, saying all the crime is down because of him and all that stuff. And I will be calling Chris's show because this is ridiculous. People try to be nice. You can't be nice. You guys are there for
Yeah, that's a great recommendation, I would say, Gillies. Definitely call back during South Coast Now.
Yeah, I got to hold you there just because I got to take a break here, but thank you for the call, Gilly.
I will, because there's something fishy going on, and the people out there,
you should call back on midweek with the mayor, and that would be a great question for him.
Oh, I did. If you listened to me when he was on Wednesday, I called in there and blasted him and told him, I put him on a spot. I told him I'll name who the next captain, who the next chief of police is going
to
be.
No, you said you were going to put it in an envelope. I want you to say it on the air.
Say it now for us, Gilly.
Listen, no, I'm not going to say it on the air because I don't want...
Yeah, but if you write it down Karnak style and then we read it later, people are going to think we were in on it and that, you know, we're lying about what you wrote down. If you say it on the air, then it's on the record.
Does it make for good radio, Gilly, to be secretive?
Yeah, but that's also hurting the person he's going to pick, where the chief might not pick him because I predicted it.
I don't think that you have that much sway, Gilly. I appreciate where you're coming from there, but I don't think you have to worry about that.
I don't say that I got a lot of sway. I'm telling you that I know stuff that happening before it even happens. And every time I made a prediction, it came true. That's all I'm telling. But I will call Chris the show because they're hiding something from us.
All right. Well, thank you.
I'm going to give a guy a raise and then he's going to retire.
Thank you for the call. I got to take this break. We'll take a break, and then we'll be back with the news and then more with Council President Burgo. Stay tuned. All right, now is it.
Pope Francis still in critical condition. Federal workers on deadline to justify their existence. And another superhero weekend at the box office.
From the Cottage Street Motors WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Pope Francis remains in critical condition with blood tests showing mild signs of kidney failure. The 88-year-old pontiff is being treated for double pneumonia and is receiving oxygen therapy. The Vatican added that Pope Francis continues to be vigilant and well-oriented. He took part in the Holy Mass from his apartment on the 10th floor of Gemelli Hospital on Sunday morning. It's the third time in his 12-year papacy that he has not delivered the prayer. Ukraine's President Volodymyr Zelensky says he's ready to step down if it brings peace to his country. The Ukrainian president made the offer at a news conference on Sunday, saying, quote, "If it is peace for Ukraine and you really want me to leave my post, I'm ready." Zelensky also said he would willingly trade his position for immediate NATO membership. Meanwhile, the White House said a peace deal in Ukraine could happen as soon as this week. A former Army chief of staff says President Trump's firing of the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff is tremendously destabilizing to the U.S. military. Appearing on ABC's This Week, retired General George Casey warned of the danger of sudden senior personnel changes.
When you remove so many senior leaders, especially without justifying and giving due cause, it creates huge uncertainty in the ranks.
Casey said military leaders should not be punished for following orders given by a previous presidential administration. General Charles Brown Jr. was fired Friday night in a move critics say was an effort by Trump to get rid of diversity initiatives in the U.S. military. Elon Musk is giving federal workers a deadline of midnight to justify their work or they'll be fired. In a social media post on Saturday, Musk said federal employees will receive an email requesting information about what they worked on in the last 7 days, and any failure to respond will be taken as a resignation. The move comes after President Trump said he'd like to see Musk be more aggressive in his efforts to slash the federal workforce. New York Governor Kathy Hochul is defending her decision not to remove New York City Mayor Eric Adams. Hochul told CBS's Face the Nation that despite outrage over the Justice Department ordering the dismissal of Adams' corruption charges, she doesn't want to undermine a Democratic election.
But I will always stand on the fact that we are a nation of laws, and one individual, the governor of New York, should not use her voice and her will to override the will of the voters.
Instead of using her power to remove a sitting mayor, Hochul says she'd rather allow this year's mayoral election to play out. The notorious B.I.G.'s mother is dead at the age of 78. Valletta Wallace was in hospice care and died of natural causes in Stroudsburg, Pennsylvania. Wallace was mentioned in several of her son's songs. She raised him as a single mom while working as a preschool teacher. After Biggie's death in 1997, she kept his legacy alive and maintained his estate. And Captain America Brave New World remains on top of the weekend box office. The Marvel and Disney film earned an estimated $28 million as of Sunday. Meanwhile, Neon's horror comedy The Monkey took in an estimated $14 million in its opening weekend. The film looks to finish second after pulling in over $5 million across Friday and preview screenings.
WBSM Sports.
Boston Celtics in Toronto to play the Raptors on Tuesday, and the Bruins home at TD Garden to play the Toronto Maple Leafs on Tuesday.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Partly sunny with a high of 43 degrees today on the South Coast. Mostly cloudy on Tuesday with a chance of a shower, a high of 48. And on Wednesday, partly to mostly cloudy, a high of 47. This WBSM news update is brought to you by Stevie's Wine and Spirits. Look for the purple dot to try before you buy. Only at Stevie's Wine and Spirits in Fairhaven. I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's news talk station, WBSM. And get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
All right, we are back with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. You can call in 508-996-0500. You can also send in your app chat messages. We got a couple of app chat messages here that I just want to bring up. D in New Bedford says, Globe article is coming. New Bedford needs fresh leadership from out-of-city ranks for chief. Also needs to eliminate internal investigative HR from police department. So we can address that if you'd like. And also, Law and Order in Cushion says, good morning, Tim. Please mention that Chief Oliveira will be 55 years old with 32 years of service in mass public safety. Those are the magic numbers to be eligible for max retirement pension. If he were to stay, he would be doing a very difficult job for literally pennies on the dollar. It is very common for public safety personnel to retire when they are around those numbers, regardless of contract status. Yeah, I mean, Mayor Mitchell kind of intimated that when he was on with Chris, that, you know, he's reached the maximum and that from this point on, it's kind of a downward slide in terms of what you're going to be making. So why not go at the top? Yeah. And I think part of the reason why he probably looked at the Falmouth job was because if you feel like you can still work, and you want to keep working, and you know that that possibility exists that you're not going to be making as much money, then why not look at a place that's going to be easier than New Bedford? And, you know, maybe he's got a summer place down there or something, and he's like, I can just live at the beach all the time now. who knows? But it seems to me like it was more like Law and Order saying it was those magic numbers more than it was anything else.
Yeah, that's what I like I had said, I think he deserves to retire like anyone would. When I am old enough to retire, I'm looking forward to enjoying my retirement just the same and spending time with my family. So, you know, as I mentioned before, congratulations to the chief. And I, you know, wish him nothing but the best.
But that being said, if Mayor Mitchell knew that those magic numbers were on the horizon, you know, what was the conversation around the 3-year contract?
Well, yeah, I think the other part, too, is I can't imagine a situation where the chief of police would have just, you know, woke up one morning and walked into the mayor's office and said, hey, here's this, you know, here's my 2 weeks notice or what have you. I would assume, because again, I haven't been told anything otherwise, I would assume that there was a lengthier conversation. The mayor is free to correct me if I'm wrong, but I would imagine that the chief has more respect for him than to just spring it on him and say, hey, I'm out of here in a couple of months. I would think that there was a longer conversation in advance, but that also troubles me a little bit because, as I mentioned, we have the deputy chief position that's been vacant this whole time. So to me, there should have been a little bit more sense of urgency. But as I've, you know, mentioned previously before, there isn't much urgency from the mayor's office when it comes to these urgent positions, unless they decide that it's urgent, like the licensing board. But this is something, as I'll continue to echo, that the city council is constantly paying attention to these changes. Although we might not get information as freely as we should, we are doing our best to keep a close eye on the government, governmental changes, to make sure that we are there to best represent our constituents and the city at large.
Skitty brought up a good point here in App Chat. She says, you know, what's your thought about cadets not seeing that you don't move up in rank? I mean, if you've got the mayor saying we're going to cast a wide net, does that make people think, or even the fact that you've got two now assistant deputy chiefs that I would assume either one of them would love to be chief. And you know, flip a coin, they're both great guys. I think they'd both do a good job at it, but maybe one becomes the chief and one becomes the deputy chief. But are now people are looking at this and saying, well, why am I going to go to New Bedford? Because there's a ceiling there. Or is correct. That, does that ceiling kind of naturally exist anyway? Because if you've got a class of, if you've got 20 people coming into a police department from a graduating class from the police force, only one of you ever gets to be chief.
Yeah, but not necessarily. I think there's a natural progression and we don't have chiefs that stay in a position for very long. You know, I think of Cadero. How long was Cadero chief for before, you know, Oliveira?
I think 5 years.
Yeah, so, you know, there is the opportunity still for advancement, and there are top ranking positions that aren't just chief. And to be honest with you, when I do speak with some police officers, you know, their ultimate goal isn't necessarily to be the chief of police.
Right.
I think a lot of times the position of chief of police actually is a larger headache than most people realize. It's really, unfortunately, a political job. You're appointed by the mayor, and you're really having to do the mayor's bidding. And I think that's sometimes where I find it unfair of the New Bedford Police Union when they do the vote of no confidence against the chief. And to me, essentially, it says more about the mayor than does the chief of police. So I remember I said that to Chief Oliver one time. I was like, yeah, keep your head up, you know, because it's like that's, it says more about the mayor than it does about you, because it's really your... As a chief of police, although you're a public figure and you're the leader of the police force, essentially you're just another department head. I know a lot of people might not look at it that way, but that's essentially what this role is. You're leading the police force, which is in turn led by the mayor of New Bedford. So I think a lot of times that is what's challenging for a lot of these department heads who might be the face of said department, but essentially they're doing the work of whatever individual occupies that corner office.
And just to give it a kind of a parallel, if you go and you talk to teachers, like how many of teachers want to be a principal? How many teachers even want to be a department chair? Most of them don't want that responsibility. They just want to focus on the job at hand. And I think it's probably very similar in the police department.
Well, and that same, using that same parallel, I think the other part of it too is because a lot of police officers that go into this field, it's because they actually do want to make a difference. I know there's a lot of, a lot of misinformation, I'm going to say, about myself, but also about police officers, that they're just here to rough people up and, you know, the violence. And no, a lot of our police officers, especially here in New Bedford specifically, join the police force because of the positive role models that we have, and want to be positive role models. You know, again, I think of officers like Shane Harris, who have won national awards, or even retired police officers like Charlie Perry. And then you have other officers like Christopher Cotter or Dean Lawrence. They were SROs during my time at New Bedford High School. That, you know, these are all positive role models that I've had in my life as police officers. They might not necessarily, I haven't spoken with them to ask if they want to be chief of police, but using them as an example of, you know, they might not necessarily want to be chief of police because it takes them away from the ability of working with our youth or working in the community, being a community police officer. A lot of them feel that is really what their calling is. You know, the same could be said about priests and bishops and cardinals and you know, potentially becoming the new pope and situations like that. Not everyone aspires to be the pope. So I think a lot of times that might be the idea behind maybe what the mayor's thinking about casting a wider net. But I think, you know, back to Sketty, I believe you said the name was. I know she calls in often. Hello, Sketty. But I think she raises a very good point, though, is that when you start off by saying, oh, we're going to look outside of New Bedford, it gives the appearance or illusion that you might not have the people here in New Bedford that are currently serving our residents don't have what it takes to lead the department. And I don't like that narrative at all.
Let's take a quick call here, and then I got to take a break, and then we can talk about what's coming up this week with the council.
Perfect.
Good morning. You're next with Council President Burgo.
Good morning. Council President Philip McDonald.
How are
you? Hey, here's an idea. I bet less than 0.1% of the people in New Bedford have ever thought about this idea, along with law enforcement. Here's one. I've lived all over New England. I've known different cities. I have friends all over the place. Our police department and of command and control, would you support the general idea that we create a corporal position? So out in the field, we only have so many sergeants, and a lot of times when it's a situation, whether it be an officer or a citizen requesting for a supervisor, sometimes it takes a long time because they're just spread out. Financially, obviously, there'd be an issue, so we'd have to look at that. But I think our city is big enough and has enough need where a corporal position would be very beneficial to the city. What do you think, Shane?
So I'm not familiar with that concept, but it's definitely, I'm always willing to look into something and discuss it further, especially if it warrants, you know, further discussion.
In the next week or so, I'll reach out to you and we'll sit down and I'll show you some of the breakdowns from the areas I've been in and seen the actual progress of it. And it's something obviously to be looked at, and I just think it'll be beneficial to our city. Our city is big enough, and I think there's enough need because basically a corporal position is supervisory.
Okay.
Most cities, it's 5 or 6 years direct experience and so, in multiple, usually multiple divisions, whether it be detective or on the street patrol. But it really alleviates a lot of stress and can defuse situations really quickly. So I'll reach out to you in the next week or so.
I was going
to
say, you have my information. So, yeah, feel free to reach out anytime, Phil.
And you know, you and I broke bread a few times. You know, I never put sugar where it's not needed.
Sounds good, Phil.
Thanks, Phil. Have a good day.
Have a good one.
All right. And I would assume that any changes to the structure of the police department would have to be something that would be negotiated to in the next contract.
Correct, yeah. And a lot of that, all of it would go through the mayor's office, and then it does trickle down to the city council. We do approve the contracts, but we're not a part of any negotiations. To the caller's point, we do oftentimes discuss, changes or recommendations like that in our public safety and neighborhoods committee that's chaired by Brian, Councilor at Large Brian Gomes. I know, like in the past, for example, Councilor Gomes has put into committee the suggestion of raising the discussion around retired police officers. I believe it was the age limit that Massachusetts caps for them doing, for example, when we have like Eversource comes and they need a police detail, having retired police officers do it as opposed to pulling off a cadet or something that's, as you know, our police force is very, we're not at our full complement right now. So that was, I believe, Councilor Gomes' way of trying to find alternatives to say, okay, well, we need men in patrol cars. Let's try to get some retired officers a little extra money as they're also helping us out in the situation where we need a police detail to, potentially direct traffic or make sure people are safe while on the job. Although we technically don't have the authority to do it, as I mentioned before, we might not have what we lack in power, we make up for in influence.
Just make sure if you do that, you get them a chair. They're retired. They don't want to have to stand all day. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, more with you, 508-996-0500. We'll find out what's on tap for the council this week. All right, we are back with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. And, sir, what is on tap for this week for the council?
Yes, so tonight we have our committee on ordinance at 7 p.m. in the council chamber. I would say probably the highlight of tonight, it's a pretty lengthy agenda, but it's all important. Let me start by saying.
But that. The headline.
We'll say the headline of it is the HEROES Act, which has a lot to do with different. It's an act honoring, empowering, and recognizing our service members and veterans, and includes over 30 spending and policy initiatives, tax credits, and statute changes. And it's organized into four buckets: benefit expansion, commitment to inclusion and greater representation, modernization of veteran services, and honoring and recognizing our veterans. So that's on tonight's committee of ordinance agenda, and I believe that's definitely something we want to support, especially at the state level, to really help when we're talking about tax exemptions and different options to help those who have served our country, to help them, especially at the municipal level, with as much as we can. I would say is pretty much the highlight of the ordinance committee. We're also going to somewhat touch on the accessory dwellings unit discussion, but I believe it has to end up being a public hearing. So tonight we're not going to discuss too much about it other than the fact that we'll make a motion to have a formal public hearing, which then will get punted to another meeting to then have a formal presentation about some changes that are coming down from the state level. And then later in the week, which will be Tuesday, so tomorrow, February 25th, we will have our subcommittee on audit, the audit committee, which is also chaired by Ryan Pereira. I don't know if I mentioned the ordinance committee is chaired by Ryan Pereira, so he'll do that tonight. And then tomorrow night, he'll continue discussions around our city budget and any potential misuse of city funds. So that investigation will continue in our audit committee tomorrow on February 25th. And then another subcommittee that's meeting this week is the airport committee, which is chaired by Ward 1 City Councilor Leo Choquette. So he will be meeting on Wednesday, February 26th at 7 p.m. also in the council chamber. So that is just getting an update from our airport commissioner, Scott Service, on any updates or changes to the airport. And so pretty routine business this week. Other than, I would say, the HEROES Act, nothing too exciting. And then obviously Thursday is our city council meeting. The agenda is not out yet. We have our filing deadline today at 10 a.m. and then we should have our actual agenda released tomorrow. But that is the council's business for this week. And everyone obviously can watch live through our website, city website. I should probably remember it's click quick links, then meetings.
It's a little complicated. Yeah. They need to make it easier.
Yes. The city website needs a better update. I'm hoping maybe now with new NB connected.
I was so excited for the app because I was like, this is going to solve the problem. And all it does is link you to the city website. That's already a mess. See,
yeah. So. Well, maybe we can, with some changes, they'll make it easier.
But the important thing is they're all in the council chamber, so you don't have to listen to Chris McCarthy complain about how it's happening on Zoom. Maybe we can get into that next week. But
yes, for sure.
Right now, let me take my final break, and then we'll wrap things up with City Council President Shane Burgo. All right, well, we are just about out of time with New Bedford City Council President Shane Burgo. Caller, we're not going to get to you, but you can hang on and talk to Chris McCarthy coming up with South Coast Now. I know he's going to have a lot to say about the Eversource bills because he had me print a whole bunch of stuff for him. So he's going to be talking quite a bit about that. And we'll be back next week with you, and we can we can talk more about some of the stuff that goes on this week, and maybe we'll get into some of that Zoom stuff too.
Yeah, sure. And it will be March by then.